This is Jeanette Brown, Editor-in-Chief of Clear Admit. I am here with Graham Richmond, co-founder of Clear Admit, and we are going to dig a little deeper into the subject of MBA admissions interviews. Specifically, Graham, I want to ask you a little bit about what difference it makes who your interviewer is. Some schools employ alumni. Others use second-year students. At some schools, the interviews are conducted exclusively by members of the admissions committee. What is the difference, and how do you prepare accordingly?
So the MBA programs will always consistently tell you that it doesn't matter if you're interviewing with a student, an alum, or an admissions officer. But I think it can be really helpful for the candidate to go into the process knowing who they're going to sit down with. I think that, in essence, if you had to categorize these three admissions interviewer types, I would say that admissions officers know a lot about the admissions process. They live and breathe it every day, whereas they may know less about what it's like to be a student in the MBA program because they're not students, typically. Moving on to the kind of student interviewer category, I would say they know a lot about what it means to be an MBA student and what the program's like, and they can give you a lot of information on that. But they're somewhat in the dark on the admissions process, even though they are, in this case, assisting the admissions team with the interview process, which is a piece of the admissions process. They often don't have a lot of insight into like what's going on behind the scenes with admissions. And then finally, the third category with the alumni interviewer, for better or for worse, they don't really know much about what it's like to be a current MBA student because often they've been out in the real world for a bit. So they may have their own memory of the program and what it was like a couple of years ago or 10 years ago or even more in some cases. But they, you know, they don't have the kind of what's happening today on the campus aspect of it. They also don't know too much about the admissions process. I would say they're even further removed from it than the students are. And then finally, the one benefit that the alums have is they do know a lot about what the degree, how the degree is viewed out in the work world and what their alumni network is like. So just knowing that these three people, types of people that you might encounter in an MBA admissions interview are all different and bring different approaches to the process can be helpful, I think, in going into an interview.
So it is well worth understanding before your interview who your interviewer will be.
Yes. And most schools will tell you, or it's kind of common knowledge that, you know, Columbia uses alumni or Harvard uses admissions officers or other schools use some combination depending on where you're located.
And what are some of the different presumably there are things that you would do universally to prepare regardless of interviewer. What are some of those things?
So I think, you know, obviously tapping into like the Clear Admit interview archive and looking for common questions, or we've offered over the years a number of advice pieces on these are the five most common questions and how to answer them. So doing all that kind of stuff to really, you know your application inside and out and be ready to answer some of the basic questions along the lines of your career plan and why you want an MBA, et cetera. All that stuff, you know, regardless of who's interviewing you can be quite helpful. I do think that, you know, on some levels, someone who's out in the workforce, like an alum, may have more questions for you about your current job or, you know, the industry that you're in or your career plans, whereas an admissions officer may, you know, have a slightly different focus that could be more centered around, you know, your sort of leadership skills or teamwork abilities. And again, they're all supposed to ask similar questions in any given school's interview process, but they come at it from different angles. And so it's not uncommon for someone interviewing with an alum to end up in like a 20-minute tangential kind of discussion around an industry or something that wouldn't happen, you know, on an on-campus kind of admissions officer interview.
And presumably students are looking to size you up based on whether they might want to be in class with you. How do you prepare for that?
Yeah, so there are two things that are kind of interesting to think about when it comes to students. The first is they are actually instructed by the admissions committee to try to determine whether they would want you in the classroom, or even more so, like whether they would want you on their learning team. And because a lot of MBA programs have these kind of close-knit small teams that they travel with through the first semester of business school, or even the entire first year. So they're kind of told, you know, would you want this person, you know, to be working with you late at night on some project or team assignment that's due? The other thing that I find really fascinating is that because the second year students who conduct interviews are not so far removed from the admissions process, I feel like they can be tough about it. It's sort of like I wouldn't put it to the, like, you know, level of like fraternity hazing or anything, but there is this idea of like, oh, I was just, you know, a couple years ago on the other side of this equation, and now I get to be the gatekeeper. So I find that they can almost be harder than, say, an alum who's just kind of happy to spread the gospel of how great it was to be in business school and to kind of talk about the old days, or, you know, to sort of, you know, reminisce about what it was like in business school. Whereas the second year students, I think because they're younger and have just been through the highly competitive admissions process themselves, they feel this, like, you know, need to uphold the quality standard and the desire to kind of, you know, enforce it.
Interesting. I might have imagined that they would have been more empathetic having just been in your shoes. Maybe a mix of both.
It's a little bit of both, yeah.
But in terms of the portion of the interview when the interviewer turns to you and says, do you have any questions? I can imagine that different questions make sense based on who you're interviewing with. What kind of questions would you recommend for, say, an alumni interviewer?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think if you're dealing with an alum, it would be really great to ask them about the alumni community. So if they're in, you know, if you're interviewing in Los Angeles, you know, you might want to ask what's the alumni club in LA like for this given school, and, you know, how often are they meeting, or what sort of level of connectivity is there between grads in the market, especially if it's a market that you're looking to work in post MBA. So I think, yeah, just trying to sort of find out, how are they still connected to the school? Are they doing any continuing education from the school? Are they attending events? And how has the network kind of served them over time? That would be a natural place to go with an alum.
And kind of remember your audience, right? An alum is not the person to say, what is this great social event on campus like? Because they may well have not participated in it. It may be something new since they left.
Right. It's similarly asking them about, you know, course offerings or very specific kind of curricular questions would not be a good path to go down with an alum. I think, you know, they try to keep up to speed because they are interviewing for the school, but they can't know everything about, you know, some of the specific things happening on campus.
Although at the same time, if you're interviewing with a student, those would be
great,
the right kinds of questions to ask.
Great place to go. I think, yeah, what's great about interviewing with a current student is, you know, they're on the front lines. You can ask them fairly detailed questions. And if they don't have the answer, you know, if you're asking about a club or a program that they are not taking part in, usually they'll offer to put you in touch with someone who, you know, is a classmate of theirs that is in the position to speak to that. And so it can be a great way to kind of just get some additional contact with the school. So current students can be a great resource for anything about, you know, day-to-day life on campus.
And if I've learned anything from editing our Real Human series on Clear Admit, it's that students, looking back, say that they wish they had taken more advantage of connections they made with students. So it sounds like it's a great way to sort of spread your network. And when you look at your interview, not only as an interview, but as an opportunity to have other touch points. So go in and say, I'm really interested in X, Y, or Z, again, with a current student who's tapped into these things. Could you point me in the direction of someone who knows about the consulting club, or who knows about women in business, or who knows about entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I agree. I would say the only thing I would want to be careful about is, there's sometimes a temptation to treat the student interviewer as kind of a peer because they're only a year or two ahead of you in this whole process. And so you can have a friendly conversation with them, but just remember they're interviewing you. So I think you need to be obviously polite and asking for these connections to happen. And you don't want to come in with like a laundry list of like, can you put me in touch with these five people?
Fair point.
But absolutely, they can be a terrific resource.
And what about the admissions committee in that regard? what are the kinds of questions that you want to ask the admissions committee?
Yeah, so admissions officers are tricky because it's, you know, presumably it's pretty rare for the admissions officer that's interviewing you to have an MBA, or if they do, it's probably, you know, many years ago. And so it's harder to ask them kind of day-to-day questions, even though they are on campus and they should have a working knowledge of most aspects of the program. But you might run into go down a path where they just don't know. But usually, because it's their job to inform the applicant pool and to attract candidates to their program, they're usually very adept at like knowing who to put you in touch with, which professor or, you know, administrative person on campus would be best equipped to kind of answer a question. So I think you can ask specific curricular questions or questions about, you know, things happening on campus, and they should be in a good position to at minimum direct you to the right person. But you're not going to get that kind of frontline experience like, oh, what was it like for you? How did you balance, you know, the first year with coursework? And you can't really ask those types of questions. And, you know, presumably even an alum would remember some of that stuff, like how hard was it to balance things, or, you know, what clubs were you in? So you have to take a slightly different approach with an admissions officer.
Unless you have an admissions officer like, say, Chad Losey, who is not only director of admissions, but also a not-so-distant HBS grad himself.
Yeah, that's a great point. I would say across many of the top schools, there are admissions directors who are graduates of the program. I would say, yeah, that's a unique opportunity for you as a candidate to ask, you know, you're in this situation where finally it's an admissions officer, but they do have that student experience. The only thing I would add, though, is that I think that folks like Chad from HBS, or even Sujin from Ross, the Michigan's MBA program, while they're both grads of their respective programs, they're not interviewing as many candidates as probably other members of their teams who are not MBA graduates. So on the margin, I would say your average admissions officer is not a graduate of the MBA program you're interviewing for. So just, yeah, keep that in mind. You never know. And they often won't tell you in advance who you're interviewing with. It's usually a surprise. So yeah, you have to kind of play that part by ear.
And that brings me to another question. What about how much due diligence should you do about your interviewer in advance of the interview? Now, I'm not suggesting that you stalk them on LinkedIn, but is it worth looking up their LinkedIn profile, say, either in the case of a student or an alumni interviewer, to pinpoint some areas of overlap, maybe, where you might have something in common? Or is that stressing out too much?
No, I think as a marketer, which is really what you are when you're applying to a school, you're marketing yourself, right? So as a marketer, you want to know your audience. And so I would say, do any research that helps you to better understand who's going to be sitting down with you. I would say, you know, make sure you're kind of in stealth mode when you're searching on LinkedIn, because to me, if I see that someone's looking at my profile right before I have an interview, I mean, I guess it's understandable, but I'd rather not know. I think you're better served if they don't know. So you can do kind of more of a public search and look at LinkedIn in a way where you're not logged in or something, to just see the basics on the person, or find their bio on the company page that they work for. Or if they're a student, you know, there's probably something out there on Facebook or any one of the various social networks. I think it can be helpful to have some background information before you sit down with someone. I don't think that you should walk in and say, hey, I see you're a big badminton player and that you worked for the first 3 years of your career at McKinsey, when they haven't shared that information with you. That can be downright creepy. But I think you knowing that stuff can be helpful, because you can sort of casually work things into the conversation. Obviously you want to be fairly adept at this, but I think it's helpful. You want to know where someone's coming from. Like, I always, when I'm interviewing a candidate for a job or meeting with someone, I always want to know, you know, like, where did they grow up, if I can figure that out? Or, you know, what sports teams might they root for? Or, you know, just any little piece of data I think can be useful in helping to understand someone and find a way to connect. But again, it's sort of a slippery slope. You have to be careful. But I would absolutely recommend doing some digging to try to find out what you're getting into. Particularly with alums, where, you know, most of this information is fairly public, you can try to figure out, like, what kind of a job do they have? If you're sitting down with someone who works at McKinsey, that's helpful to know, because McKinsey, you know, is famous for using case interviews, and not that the interviewer is going to kind of dive into a kind of non-conventional interview style. You know, obviously they're following the instruction that the school has given them, but you know, they may probe a little bit more, you know, differently. And if just knowing that someone's coming from that kind of consulting environment where everything's about kind of case method and how you kind of present ideas would be useful, you know, versus a banker who might have a really different approach to kind of interviewing you.
What about follow-up protocol? Does it differ based on the type of interviewer?
I would say no. I mean, I think, you know, the general rule of thumb is that you send a thank you via email within 24 hours, in which you kind of summarize what, you know, what you learned from meeting with the person. You thank them for their, you know, their time. You mention anything that you in particular, you know, kind of enjoyed sharing. And obviously you use the thank you letter potentially as a moment to offer up any little detail that you kind of neglected to work into the interview. But I don't see a real difference in how you follow up. Obviously, if a current student interviewed you and gave you a list of three candidates to reach out to, three current students to reach out to, you might, you know, want to let them know that you've reached out to those folks. And if you met with an alum and they said, oh, you've got to meet so-and-so alum who also lives in this city and works in your domain or would know a lot about some of the questions you had, like you want to show that you followed up. But obviously, you know, that's going to be pretty similar across the board. You just want to show that you're taking steps based on whatever the interviewer told you. But I really don't think there's a big difference in how you respond. It's going to be by email and it's going to be within 24 hours. And it's a fairly brief kind of, you know, thank you letter.
And if you're interviewing with an alum, say, in another part of the world, is it important to try to create connections? Like if you're from the same small town, do you want to bond over that? Or is that forced?
I think, no, that's actually an interesting point. So if you're in a remote location or a location that's maybe not known for, you know, maybe you're in Lagos or, you know, Jakarta or something, and, you know, there aren't a ton of people interviewing for Harvard Business School from those markets or from, you know, for any given school. Obviously, yeah, I think there's a closer knit community, and there's often I feel like the alums are kind of rooting for most of the people that they meet with because they're just wanting representatives from their country to kind of go and have the experience that they had. So it isn't uncommon. I think it's actually quite common for an interviewer and an alum, an interviewee and the alum that interviews them to kind of forge a little bit of a relationship and keep them posted about what happens in the admissions process, you know, in terms of like, oh, I got, you know, just found out I got in, or in some cases, wow, I just found out I got on the wait list. Is there anything, you know, that I should be doing, or is there anything you could do to help? So I think there are times when being in a remote market can kind of bring about a closer relationship with, you know, with the interviewer.
Thanks so much, Graham. This has been really helpful to me in terms of thinking about knowing your audience and approaching your interview with some knowledge about who will be interviewing you. I really appreciate your spending the time.
Oh, my pleasure to help out. And yeah, hopefully all the candidates out there will use this and just be more prepared as they go into the different types of interviews.
Great. Thanks again.